In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Most Americans today follow more or less the same pattern regarding weddings. They announce their engagement, they set a date for the wedding, they get their marriage license. The ceremony is usually held in a church or in another festive place. A clergy person or some other official presides. There is a festive reception, and then it's off to the honeymoon. That's not always how things were done. In fact, the way we do weddings today, and much more importantly, the status afforded women in modern times, is largely attributable to the Reformation and its founder, Martin Luther, and his wife, Katharina von Bora. Katharina von Bora was born in the year 1499, which would make her 16 years younger than her future husband, Martin Luther. The von Bora family were minor nobility that had fallen on hard financial times. At 6 years old, Katie was sent off to live in a convent. It's likely that she never saw her family after that. That sounds very cruel to us, and yeah, perhaps it was, but it certainly was not uncommon. Families would frequently send their children off to be monks or nuns because it meant that they had one less mouth to feed, and it would stop that child from receiving any possible inheritance. Katie was consecrated a nun when she was just 16 years old. As a nun, Katie took vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. She spent most of her time in the convent in silence and in prayer. Katie literally never left the convent, and the only men that she would see was the priest who was sent there to say Mass, and the hired workers who worked on the grounds. The education that she received in the convent was exceptional for anyone in those days. She learned both academics and religion, and it was particularly exceptional for a woman. Women did not have the same educational opportunities as men in those days. None of Katie's correspondence from her years in the convent survives. And although she certainly was a very devout and faithful nun, we can imagine that her life must have been hard and lonely at times. We don't know exactly how Katie and the other nuns heard about Martin Luther and the Reformation and the reforms that were coming to the church. It's assumed that one of the merchants who brought goods into the convent may have smuggled in some of Luther's writings. He would be the same merchant who smuggled out Katie and a group of other nuns on the night before Easter when she was 22 years old. It was a daring escape. It said that the nuns hid in old pickled herring barrels. Some people question that today, whether it really was herring barrels that they escaped in, but I like to believe that. Katie and the nuns went to Wittenberg, where Martin Luther lived. It's suspected that Luther had a hand in their escape behind the scenes. There weren't many options for women in those days. Basically, you could live with your parents, or you could be married and live with your husband. The laws regulated which women could work and what jobs they could do. Katie, being a noblewoman, could not legally work for wages. Some of the families of the nuns took their daughters back. Martin Luther and his good friend, Pastor Nicholas Amdors, helped arrange weddings for the others. After a time, the only nun that was left was Katharina von Bora. She was temporarily living with one of the wealthy families in Wittenberg. A prospective husband loved Katie, and she loved him. But his family forbid him to marry a runaway nun, and that wedding didn't happen. A pastor proposed to her, but she turned him down. He wasn't the nicest person, and she just didn't love him. Pastor Amdors told her that she was just about out of options, and Katie told Pastor Amsdorf that she would only marry either him or Martin Luther. Amsdorf told her that he planned to live and die a bachelor, which he did. Luther had been thinking about how his understanding of the gospel applied to marriage and family. He decided that he wanted to be married to show that being a monk or nun and celibate was no more pleasing of a life to God than being married and having a family. He also wanted to show that a priest, a pastor, could be married and have a family and still be a faithful servant of God. Martin had been dating a woman. It was expected that they would marry, but then suddenly she dumped him for a wealthier man. Martin and Katie started courting. At first, he thought that Katie was too aloof and headstrong. Now, I really wish that Luther could be here to explain that to me, because I have no idea what he means that she could be aloof and headstrong. Over time, Martin proposed and Katie accepted. They grew to love one another profoundly. In those days, there were no such things as marriage licenses or even wedding ceremonies for the common people. A couple would say that they wanted to be married and started living together, and that was considered a marriage. That caused a lot of confusion and conflict, especially when marriages dissolved. Somewhat breaking with tradition, in 1525, Martin, age 41, and Katie, age 25, were married by Pastor Amsdorf in a ceremony held at the front door, outside of the church, in the presence of God and their friends who witnessed and blessed their marriage. A dinner for friends was held afterwards. The happy couple moved into the old Augustinian monastery where Luther had previously lived as a monk. This type of pattern became the norm for engagements and weddings. But not everyone was happy. Some of Luther's friends and colleagues, including Philip Melanchthon, criticized the marriage, saying that a priest being married, especially to a runaway nun, only exacerbated the split that they had had with the Roman Catholics. Luther's enemies said that it was really his lust that was the impetus behind the Reformation, and that he and Katie were only getting married because she was pregnant. The birth of Katie and Martin's first child, more than a full year after they were married, put those kind of rumors to rest. The Luthers went on to have two sons and three daughters in 8 years. They also brought nine nieces and nephews into their homes to raise when the children's parents died. Luther took on the traditional role of father and was especially responsible for the children's education and discipline. Discipline was swift, fair, and strict. Katie took on the traditional role of mother, a nurturing, hands-on caregiver, very devoted to her children. Katie also managed the household. The home was huge, and there were a lot of mouths to feed. Luther was not a good money manager himself, and he was very busy with his ministry. Katie took care of the family finances. She took in students as boarders who paid rent. There were usually 30 to 40 people living in the Luther household. She oversaw an addition being built on the house, and she got donations to help pay for it. Katie bought land to farm and hired workers. She raised vegetables along with cows, pigs, goats, and chickens. She made sausage and brewed beer. No wonder Luther loved her so much. Not only that, but Katie participated in Luther's theological discussions with his students, which was unheard of for a woman at the time. Now, Katie and Luther didn't always agree. The German word for chain is Kette, and sometimes Martin would refer to Katie as Kette, kind of like calling her the old ball and chain. He also joked about trying to get the man who had backed out of his promise to marry Katie to reconsider. Apparently, Lutheran pastors making jokes about their wives is a well-respected and long-standing tradition in the church, and one that I practice religiously. However, Katie could not only take some ribbing, she could also dish it out in a constructive way. Once, when Martin was in one of his fits of depression, and I'm sure we wish that Katie could be here to describe a husband in a fit of depression, wives today, I'm sure, have no idea what that could be like. Well, Martin was in one of his fits of depression. Katie dressed all in black, as if she was in mourning. And Martin said to her, "Who died?" And she said, "Well, I thought God did from the way you've been acting." Well, point made and taken. But all kidding aside, Luther respected Katie and recognized her talents. Together, they distributed the duties and functions of their household in a way that was fair, equitable, and extremely forward-looking for the time. When we look at how women were treated in ancient times and how they were even treated in the medieval era, we see that Christianity and the Reformation have really been the impetus for justice and have done more to raise the status of women than any other movement. The biblical views of men and women and marriage and family is one of husbands and wives living together in complementary roles marked by love, peace, and harmony, praising and serving God together. Luther died in 1546, leaving Katie a 47-year-old widow. The law at the time was that a widow had to have a guardian appointed for her to oversee her affairs. In his will, Luther stipulated that Katie should be her own guardian. But the courts disagreed and appointed Philip Melanchthon, Luther's old friend and colleague, who Katie never particularly cared for, to be her guardian. I think Master Philip the Pussyfooter was wise enough to let Katie go her own way. On her own, Katie continued to provide for her family and run her home, despite living through times of pestilence and war. It was during a time of war, when she and Melanchthon were trying to escape Wittenberg to go somewhere safer, that she fell from a carriage and died from her injuries at the age of 62. What can we learn from Katie and her life with Luther? Katie and Martin provided a home of unconditional love where their children and others could learn to love and serve the Lord. Moreover, Katie and Martin were a comfort and a support for one another. That wasn't always true, or even the expectation for marriages before theirs. Although their roles and functions were distinct, they gave one another the freedom and unlimited help to make each other all that they could be. Living grounded in God's grace and under the light of the cross, Katie was a good role model for all Christians, and she and Martin together are good role models for Christians' husbands and wives. Luther's own words say it best, and I quote, "I would not give up Katie for France or Venice. First, because God gave her to me and me to her. Second, because I have observed that other women have more shortcomings than my Katie. Although she too has shortcomings, they are outweighed by her many great virtues. And third, because she keeps faith in marriage, that is, fidelity and respect. A wife ought to think the same about her husband." End quote. Yes, may it be so. Amen.